And now, it's time for a show that is the first of its kind. A show that's informative. A show that pulls the curtain back on what is really going on in the streets and in the classroom. A show that is necessary. Brought to you by Law Enforcement Against Drugs and Violence. It's time for Battling Drugs and Violence with the Lead Guy. And now your host, the Executive Director and CEO of Lead, Nick DeMauro.
Everybody, it's Battling Drugs and Violence with the Lead Guy. Yep, that's me, Nick DeMauro, the Lead Guy. How are you, everybody? What a great, another great week here in the great U.S. of A. And we have an exceptional show today. We're really excited about, what's happening. And I hope everyone had a great Easter. And, this weather is warming up here in the Northeast. And we're excited about what's going on. I'm heading back from my Florida office. As you know, Lead has an office in Naples, Florida. And starting next week, I'm going to be back in a Northeast mode in our Allentown office. And I'm very excited about, we have a new team member who's joining us. She's actually on the radio show today. And I'd like to introduce Allison Heckel, who is our new EVP of Marketing and Advertising. Allison has a very diverse past, which I'm going to let her tell about it. And so, Allison, welcome to Battling Drugs and Violence with the Lead Guy. And let's see, tell us about Allison.
Thank you so much for having me on. I'm really happy to be here. It's my first radio show, so that's a first for me. Thank you for that.
Yeah, you're a politician. Come on.
I like to think of myself as a public servant, but sure.
Oh, there you go. I'm sorry. I'm an elected official also, so I can joke. It's like I always tell, I can tell the Italian jokes because I'm Italian, So we're both elected officials. So tell us about yourself, Allison.
Sure. So I have a varied background in marketing. I like to call it content strategy, because when I first got my master's degree, it was in writing and publishing, and that's not available on drop-down lists anymore as a category. I still love magazines, but I guess they're pivoting to digital. So it's content strategy across multiple channels. I started out in business-to-business magazines for the printing industry and have pivoted to many different opportunities since then. I try to find the opportunities when I need them. Earlier on in my marriage, my spouse is a dentist, and he was a U.S. Army dentist for a little while. So I tried to stay mobile for wherever we ended up in the world. We were in Germany, Virginia, and Colorado, and a bunch of different places. So I tried to be flexible in my career options, and that has proven pretty good for me. I've worked for the Boy Scouts of America. And for my own agency, I did my own thing for a little while in helping nonprofits flourish and grow and reach new markets with new media and new technology. I like to be mission driven. So if myself is the mission, then I feel like I'm not really doing the right work. So I like to be helping others whenever I can. And when this popped up, it seemed like a great alignment, because I am a county commissioner, as you said, and in my county commissioner role, my duties are public safety and parks and recreation. And I know from that side of it that our public safety agencies are always on the lookout for quality programming that they can use to engage with the community and outreach. And this is it, right? LEAD provides a great program for the community. It's already in practice in some of my municipalities and in my county. And I already knew about it. So that's a win for us, right? I'm coming on board and there's a lot to learn, but I do already know what you offer the community. So I'm happy to be here.
Well, that's fantastic. We're excited to have you bring a fresh look at what we're doing with marketing and advertising. For everyone on the radio show listening today, we were on a great call with looking at the whole strategy of digital marketing. As you know from years ago, and I'm the same way, I used to always pick up the newspaper and look at the newspaper every day. I grew up in Bergen County, as most of our listeners are from northern New Jersey. And you grew up and everyone read the Bergen Record. It was delivered to your doorstep. And now everything's online. It's digital. It's the streaming. I'm always amazed I'm always amazed how many actors and actresses there are in this world, because when I grew up, there was only five channels on the TV and a few and movie theaters to go to, right? And every couple weeks, a new movie would come out. There's millions of radio shows and television shows. So definitely the marketing and advertising world has changed. But we have to be careful, as we talked about in our meeting today. We have to be careful, because we just can't spend money for the sake of spending money to get our logo out there.
This is a big challenge for any media company right now, is how do we reach our market? It's become so diversified. There's no one way that people are getting their information, whether you're a major brand, whether you're a nonprofit, whether you are a news agency, you still have to figure out where are your people, and it's becoming harder and harder. Not only are they not consuming the nightly news on the TV anymore, I'm Gen X. I used to be. I knew 6 o'clock was the local news, 6:30 was the national news, and then 7 o'clock was Jeopardy, and that's how we all got our.
And 5 o'clock was I Love Lucy, when in my household.
That's not the same anymore, right? That's a lot of the parents of school-aged kids are not watching the news. They're not reading newspapers. They're getting their information from the internet, or they're expecting it to be delivered to their inboxes. But we can't know that until we have an established relationship with them. So it's definitely a challenge, and it's one that I've embraced in recent years. The omni-channel marketer, and trying to solve the puzzle of how do we reach our markets in a timely manner.
Yeah, no, it's challenging, but it's also, getting impressions is one thing in a digital platform, and saying, okay, we got 20,000 impressions on this one post, right? That's interesting. But what happened with those impressions? Did it just go in someone's brain and in their thought process? What kind of action? What's the next action? Did they attend an event that you had?
If you had an impression, is not what it needs to be. I'm sorry. The impression is not. It's something, but it's not. It's not really what we need. We need that conversion, right? We need them to click a thing and do a thing.
Well, we can do that with our we give this opportunity here. Hey, all you listeners out there. Allison and I are going through some of our new business models here. So like for our carnivals and festivals, we use a company called Sapphire. And so if you get an impression, let's say in our digital platform, and you press on that link, it takes you to Sapphire. So they can tell by analytically you got to sapphire.com. The average person thinks it's lead where you're going to, but it's actually Sapphire. So you get to sapphire.com and you look at, you can buy this ticket, that ticket, that day, so on and so forth. We can tell that they went there. We can also tell if they purchased, right? So that is a perfect example on how digital advertising can be decided whether it worked or not.
We have a lot of analytics about everybody's behavior online.
So we can get into targeting on some
granular levels.
So last year we have all those analytics, and we actually have, so let's say ABC@AOL.com, right? Let's say they went to our website, bought two tickets to one of our festivals, right?
Okay.
We have that. So now the company we use will solicit ABC@AOL.com and say, you coming back this year?
Right.
And they can, geo-target that. Spending all this money and people looking at our logo, okay, great. Okay, yeah, what are we doing?
Content strategy to bring it full circle, right? So then I have to make sure that I'm giving them a great piece of content so that when they do see it, it's really going to deliver the value proposition of our brand.
Right. Absolutely. But how do we measure that?
And the analytics.
I missed the next business that I missed that meeting.
Right. Yes.
But I'm assuming it was the same thing, right? Was it basically the same thing, just a different company?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I we'll talk about that from a business perspective. But for the listeners out there, you know, it's kind of you're in a different world. You know, people, you know, if you're listening to us on AM 970, The Answer, AM, the home of Joe Piscopo, Jersey Joe Piscopo, and AM 970 Salem Media. And I just got a text from the legendary Jerry Crowley, who's the GM of Salem Media in New York. And so I'm sure he's going to be listening. It's, a Saturday here in New York City. So we're part of something special. But we have a great show today. And I wanted to grab Allison for a few minutes here and welcome her to the Lead family. And, you know, we're growing. So everyone knows how, you know, Lead is growing. I just opened up a document that said we have the Orlando Police Department just registered for one of our trainings, which is kind of cool. So we're expanding in other ways, and we're looking to set up a different events. We're working on an issue with an event down in South Jersey, which I think we're going to get worked out. Really appreciate you coming on, Allison.
And thank you so much.
We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. Hey, this is Nick DeMauro, Battling Drugs and Violence with the Lead Guy. Yep, that's me, Nick DeMauro, the Lead Guy. And we'll be back. Please go to www.leadrugs.org, leadrugs.org. We'll be right back after this moment.
Whether on the street or in the classroom, LEAD, Law Enforcement Against Drugs and Violence, offers the most effective, evidence-based, tested, and proven curriculum delivered by law enforcement. LEAD instructors teach your children the skills they need to live healthy lives free of substance abuse and violence. Help LEAD create safer, healthier communities free of drugs, bullying, and violence throughout our country and ultimately the world. To join the fight against drugs and violence in your community, visit leadrugs.org. That's leadrugs.org.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
I've seen people's lives and their families' lives turn completely upside down by devastating accidents. And that's why I started my law firm. I'm Eric Chafin, co-founder of Chafin Lujana Law. Our firm makes sure that you recover everything you're entitled to, including, for example, your lost wages, your medical expenses, as well as your pain and suffering. Our team has the experience and expertise in personal injury cases to get you the best legal recovery while you focus on your health and healing. If you've been injured, call us and let us do good and right for you.
Go to ChafinLujana.com or call 800-873-0818. If you've been hurt because of someone else's negligence, Chafin Lujana will help you get the meaningful compensation you deserve. Call 800-873-0818 now. Our attorneys have recovered over $1 billion for victims like you. Don't settle for less than you deserve. Go to ChafinLujana.com or call us for your free case review. Call 800-873-0818. That's 800-873-0818. 800-873-0818.
Wake up with Joe Piscopo at 6. Ride home with John Katsimatidis at 5 on AM 970. The Answer.
We're back with Nick DeMauro and Battling Drugs and Violence with the Lead Guy.
Hey, we're back. This is Nick DeMauro, Battling Drugs and Violence with the Lead Guy. Yep, that's me, Nick DeMauro, the Lead Guy. We just had a great session with Allison Heckel, our new EVP of Advertising and Marketing. Had a hefty discussion on digital platforms and how its analytics are affecting our marketing strategies these days. On the radio right now, we're honored to have Chief Mark Hagan from the great state of Maine. What's going on up in Maine there, Chief?
Well, we're getting hit with a pretty serious snowstorm. So we're getting anywhere from 8 to 16 inches, I guess, today into tomorrow. So
wow.
We thought it was spring, but it's actually not up here.
Well, Chief, tell us about Maine. You know, I don't know much about Maine. I've been there a couple times, went to Bangor, Maine, for vacation, been to a wedding in Freeport, Maine, been to Portland once. So that's about the extent of the great state of Maine, but we're growing there rapidly. So talk about, first of all, talk about your background and how you got there.
Yeah, sure. So I was actually born and raised in Brunswick, Maine, which is probably, if you've been to Portland, we're about 20 miles north of Portland, right on the coast here. We have Bowdoin College, if you've heard of Bowdoin College.
I coach football at Berm Burton Academy in Vermont for 7 years, and my star quarterback 1 year became the starting quarterback for 4 years at Bowdoin.
Again, growing up in Brunswick, we had the Brunswick Naval Air Station and Bowdoin College. That was our claim to fame, plus being right on the coast of Maine. So great spot to grow up in, and I actually was fortunate. I got hired by the Brunswick Police Department after growing up there October 3rd, 1990. So I did my first 26 years at Brunswick PD, and I retired as the patrol commander in 2016, and patrol commander is just a fancy name for deputy chief. I don't know why they called it that, but so I retired from Brunswick after 26, and then I went to a small town right nearby called Lisbon, and I was the chief there for 4 years. And then in 2020, the opportunity came up to be the chief in Topsom here, and Topsom's right beside Brunswick. And it actually happens to be where I have purchased and built a home, and it's where my kids grew up, and it's my community. So the opportunity to be a chief and try to help my own community was too great to pass up. So I came here in September of 2020 and haven't looked back.
Well, that's great. You know, being how big is Topsom, Maine?
So we have a population of about 9,000, and we're 35 square miles. We have 16 sworn officers right now. So, relatively small community, probably compared to what you folks are used to down there. But it's, generally in Maine, you have most of the population are in communities, 9, 10, 12,000 people. So,
I grew up and was a police officer in a small little town in Bergen County, New Jersey, which Bergen County has 72 municipalities. And I was in a town with 35 sworn, 2 point, you get a kick out of this, Chief, 2.2 square miles, 16,000 residents.
Okay, so you're a little different than us, that's for sure.
Yeah, so, we had three sections of town. Each section was about a quarter of a mile, a mile maybe square. And it was funny because it was three sections. And by the end of my tour there, I was a detective for many years. But
outstanding.
It was, you had the section one was way up north, which was kind of the quiet section. Section two was got a little more busier, and then section three is where all the garden apartments were, and we boarded an urban town. So So if you we used to fight over section three because if you wanted to be busy, you wanted section three.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah. All right. Well, we're pretty much at the other end of the spectrum from you, but it was we were as up here, you can be as busy as you want to be. If you want to come in and you want to stop cars and handle situations, you can be just busy enough. But, sometimes if you just want to relax for a night and just do some community policing things, that's easy enough to do as well. So, very fortunate up here, to be honest with you.
That's great. Now, so 16 sworn. I'm excited that you guys just got lead trained. And we're
yes, we did.
We're happy about that, and we just did we have a public relations firm that everyone who goes through our training, we do a press release on, which is a service that we provide. We Bath, Maine, just had a nice article written about him. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, I just heard about it this morning. I think it was in yesterday, and. Bath, actually, the Bath officers were in the training with us that we just had about a month ago. We hosted it here at Topsom, and I knew they were going to be starting the program right away. We're shooting for next fall, so we're going to be starting hopefully in our schools. I have one more hoop to jump through. I got to meet next week with the school board and the accreditation committee, and I think we'll be good to go right after that.
We're very pleased with our the data, but besides our effect regarding our effectiveness with the curriculum.
Oh yeah, I tell you what, I first heard about this in the fall, and I was down at the New England Chiefs Conference, and I ran into a gentleman named John Finkel, and just struck up a conversation with him, and he started telling me about this program, and didn't really know much about it. I was a little unfamiliar, and sounded too good to be true, to be honest. And now I'm bought in. This is a great program. I went through the training myself with a couple of my officers a month ago here, and we're looking forward to getting it started up here.
Who did the training? Was it Big Tex up there? Do you have Matt up there?
No, it was Ryan Henley, and I got to tell you, he was amazing.
He's the best.
Yeah, well, it was fortunate then for us to get him because it was just amazing training. It was, you know, interactive. It's all scripted, which is great. You know, easy to follow along. You know, we even had a couple teachers come in from our school that we're trying to get this introduced to, and they bought in immediately after seeing it. So, yeah, everybody sees the strengths of this program, and it's a great opportunity for us, to be honest with you, up here.
Yeah, we're excited about working with you. I know you've agreed to come on our Northeast Advisory Board.
Yeah, no, I was thankful to be invited. I'm honored.
Yeah, so we're going to actually have our first meeting down in Orlando, believe it or not.
And it could be worse places.
And you'll be invited free of charge to our conference this year.
Yeah, no, thank you very much. I was talking to Mr. Finkel this morning, and he said that to me. And, I'm honored to be invited, and certainly, especially today, looking forward to going to Orlando, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, so, you know, we appreciate you. So policing in the Northeast, how do you work your shifts there, scheduling-wise?
Well, here in Topsom, it's mostly 10-hour shifts. So, you know, the officers get 4 10s. And then they get 3 days off to, you know, be with their family, friends, or whatever. You know, we're having the same problems everybody else is having as far as staffing goes. So there's plenty of overtime to be had. But, it seems to be working for us as far as the 4 10s.
Now, you're the chief. Do you ever get on the road?
Oh, yeah. That's the other nice thing about being in a small town. I get my work done, and I get to go out and play a little, too. So, I call them my mental health drives. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's good to still be involved. You know, I don't feel like I should only be behind a desk. And it's the same as going through that training. It was a good opportunity for me, too, to actually, you know, I'm looking forward to actually teaching as well. So, Yeah, it's nice to get out on the road.
That's fantastic. Now, so what's your department makeup there up in Maine? How many? What kind of rank structure?
So, you know, myself as the chief, I have a lieutenant, which would be, you know, like a deputy chief, maybe down your way, and we have two sergeants. So we just got everybody broken down into two squads. We also have a detective, and with this budget, hopefully in July, we'll have a second detective. We just got to wait for the budget to be passed. You know, we have a school resource officer that also went through the training. And, so we have a traffic safety officer. So most, you know, our focus is obviously on patrol, but we try to get involved as much as we can in any community events.
Yeah, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but we have a partnership with NASRO, National Association of School Resource Officers.
I was not aware of that, to be honest with you. That's great.
So yeah. we're very proud of our relationship with Mo Kennedy and the whole team over at NASRO. And we also partner with National Night Out. I don't know if that's popular up in Maine.
It is. When I came here a few years ago, we started getting involved in National Night Out, and it's expanded every year. So it's been a great community trust builder, you know, working with working with everybody here, and gives us an opportunity to start a relationship with a lot of people that normally wouldn't run into us.
Well, check, do yourself a favor, check the advertising information. Our logo is all over National Night Out.
All right, outstanding. I will do that as soon as possible, to be honest with you.
Well, yeah, that's it. So you work 10-hour shifts. So if I was a patrolman on your department, say I work Monday through Friday, 10 hours, right?
Yep.
And you get 3 days. How many days off do you get? Three?
You get three, yeah. So, you know, we'll have officers, you know, we have the typical day shift, 7 a.m. till, you know, 5 p.m. We have another shift that's just 5, you know, or 4. They actually come in at 4, so we have a little bit of overlap because we're a small PD. You know, they work 4 to 2, and then we have your traditional 9 to 7 overnight shift as well. So, yeah.
Hey, Chief, we're going to come back to you in a second here. We're taking a break here. This is Nick DeMauro, Battling Drugs and Violence with the Lead Guy. I want you to go to our website, leadrugs.org, leadrugs.org, or like our Facebook page, Law Enforcement Against Drugs and Violence. We are the best, and we appreciate your support. This is where you'll listen to us on AM 970 The Answer, home of Joe Piscopo in the mornings. This is Nick DeMauro. We're going to come back in a couple minutes with Chief Mark Hagan for the Topsden Police Department.
LEAD, Law Enforcement Against Drugs and Violence, is a registered 501c3 nonprofit organization supported by dedicated police officers who are committed to protecting our youth and communities from the threat of drugs, drug-related crimes, cyberbullying, and violence. To join the fight against drugs and violence in your community, visit leadrugs.org. That's leadrugs.org. Help LEAD create safer, healthier communities free of drugs, bullying, and violence throughout our country and ultimately the world.
We all know that aches and pains come with simply getting older, but it doesn't mean you have to accept it. That's why I want to tell you about a special lady, Leah from Ohio, and her relief factor story. One Sunday, Leah was sitting on the couch in so much pain, she was literally in tears. That's when she decided to try Relief Factor. Just 8 days later, she found relief, and she continued to get better and better. To quote her, she said, "I am truly amazed at this product. Like me, who after 9, almost 10 years, almost a decade of low back pain, lost that pain thanks to Relief Factor. If you're living with aches and pain, see how Relief Factor, a daily drug-free supplement, could help you feel and live better every day. Get the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. It all comes with a feel better or your money back guarantee. That number, 1-800-4-RELIEF. ReliefFactor.com.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Are you ready for an adventure of a lifetime? Journey with me, Mike Gallagher, and Dr. Sebastian Gorka on the Patriots Alaska cruise this summer. It's going to be an incredible opportunity to engage with other like-minded patriots on an epic 7-day cruise over 4th of July. Witness the untouched wilderness of Alaska while discussing America's future. Join Dr. Gorka and me, Mike Gallagher, from June 29th through July the 6th. Call 855-565-5519 or reserve online at PatriotsAlaskaCruise.com.
Brandon Tatum, weeknights at 8 on AM 970. The Answer.
Don't turn that dial. You're listening to Battling Drugs and Violence with the Lead Guy. Now your host, Nick DeMauro.
Hey, everybody, we're back. And we got Chief Mark Hagan from the Topson Police Department in the great state of Maine. Mark, you would tell us a little bit about your schedule. I'm sorry where you left off. We talked about 10-hour shifts, and they worked a 4-3.
Yes, sir.
Was it a 4-3, 4-3, 4-2? How does that work?
No, just 4-3s every week on a 7-day cycle. So, you know, you get your 40 hours in, you know, 4 10-hour shifts, and then you get 3 days off unless you're working overtime, and then do it all again the next week, yeah.
So what do you stagger the shifts? How do you do that? Because
yes, sir. Yeah, so we'll have a typical day shift, which is 7 in the morning, you know, till 5 at night. We have another shift that will come in at 4 in the afternoon and work till 2 in the morning. So we get a little overlap. And then we get another crew that comes in from 9 at night till 7 the next morning. So okay. It's, you know, 24/7 coverage. Yep.
No, I understand that. But what I'm trying to figure out is, so if I'm Officer A, and I'm working Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, right?
Yes, sir.
And I'm off Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yes,
who
sir.
Works Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
There are the guys that were off, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or, you know, it's all staggered. So somebody might have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday off. Another officer has Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off. And, you know, somebody else will have Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday off. So there's always, you know, generally speaking, because we're a small PD, we only have a couple people on the road at a time, other than the overlap at night. So it's always changing.
Just do you always have, so if on. I'm on my 4-3, I would have, so let's say John Smith works Monday through Thursday, right?
Yes,
and then Bob Smith works Tuesday through Friday.
Yep.
Harry Smith works Wednesday through Sunday.
You got it. Yeah. And it just keeps rotating like that. Yep.
Okay. Now, does anyone ever switch days off?
Yeah. So every couple months they rebid again. So, you know, somebody on days might switch to nights, and you know, when they switch shifts, the days off change as well. Yep.
Oh, okay. So I was just trying to figure. It's kind of interesting. I'd love to work for you Monday through Thursday. You know, the day shift.
You and everybody else. Yeah, exactly.
Right?
That's why we're having some recruitment issues up here. Yeah, but actually, up in Maine, that's probably the primary shift is a 4-10. With 3 days off. A lot of other PDs are starting to go to 12-hour shifts, you know, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., and then another shift works 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. With smaller PDs, that seems to also provide just as much coverage. So
that's tough. You know, I mean, I work harder now than I was as a policeman, you know?
Yeah.
But it's, you know, but, you know, I get into the, you know, my phone starts ringing at 8 in the morning, and I'm still texting people at 11 at night, you know?
Yeah.
So,
no, trust me.
So it's a different type of work.
Yeah, no, and even myself, I miss the old days of just coming in and, you know, driving a patrol cruiser all day and not having to deal with the emails and phone calls. Probably not as much as you, but they're still there, so... Yeah,
I can imagine. Everybody wants to talk to the chief.
Yeah, especially when he's a local guy and everybody knows him, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's how it works.
You know, growing up in town, I was very active in my town. I was a policeman. I was on the Little League Board of Directors, the Junior Football League Board of Directors, and you know, so it was everyone knows you, you know?
Yeah, no, it's a double-edged sword, right? It's been great, and I love it, but my wife doesn't like going to the grocery store with me anymore because we get stopped there a lot with a lot of questions about things that are going on in town. So it takes us twice as long as it should probably to get our groceries.
All right, here's a tough question.
In
the last 3 years, what's the worst case you can tell us about?
Well, we had a stabbing homicide here just before Thanksgiving that was fairly gruesome, you know, in one of our apartment buildings here. So I don't know how much people want to hear about that, but unfortunately, a gentleman had some mental health issues. That's all we hear about these days, right, is mental health issues. And he killed somebody else in the same building with him. So
how'd you guys solve it?
He didn't go very far. He went back to his room. And so people, when we showed up just a couple minutes later and found the deceased, everybody said they assumed he went back to his room, and we went up to his room, and sure enough, he was right there waiting for us. So wow. He didn't try to run or anything. Yeah. Yep.
Wow. I guess the two got into an argument, and the rest is history, right?
Yeah, he was hearing some voices, you know, some of the typical things when you're dealing with people with mental health issues. And, unfortunately, they told him to get rid of her. So it's unfortunate, obviously.
Oh, it's scary, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm sure that rocked the nice little town of Topson, right?
Yeah, people were pretty pretty nervous. You know, we did a lot of community events after that just to make sure people understood that, you know, and I don't mean to complain about the media, but something like that focuses a lot of negative attention. And so then we have to go around after and make sure everybody understands that, yes, this was a horrible event, but there's a lot of good things that happened here, too. You know, 95% of the time. And this was just an unfortunate incident. So we're pretty heavily involved in the community. So I think most people realize that. And we roll forward.
Are you a regional school district, or do you have your own school district?
Yeah, we're regional. We have three towns around us that come here to Topson. Yep.
Well, that's so the schools are actually in your town?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Wow, that increases your population Monday through Friday.
Yes, it does. Yeah, there's two elementary schools that are outside of town, but the middle school and the high school are right here. So, we stay busy over there, as you can imagine.
How's your football team?
Not very good, to be honest. Yeah. They've actually switched to, I think, because the school doesn't. The big sport up here is soccer, which really hurts the football team. So they're doing, I think, a seven-man. I think it's
a lot of states are going to that. It's not football.
No, you are correct. But it's tough to have a good soccer program and a good football program in the same town, unless at least with the towns up here, the size that we have up here.
Well, I'm a football guy, but we just signed up a national sports ambassador, the head coach of the Philadelphia Union, Jim Curtin, who'll probably be on our show in the near future. And Jim is out there promoting us through the MLS, Major League Soccer, which is a growing sport in the country. Yeah, so we're, we have a bunch of national ambassadors, Mark. I don't know if you're aware of that. We got Joe Piscopo, one of our national ambassadors, who is on our radio show, 970 The Answer, here in AM 970 The Answer in New York City. And we also have Lou Merletti. Merletti is the former U.S. head of U.S. Secret Service. And we have the former head of the DEA, acting head of the DEA, Utham Dhillon. And then we have Jim Carroll, the former U.S. drug czar, also our national ambassadors. So we're really excited about the direction of this organization.
Yeah, and I guess that's why you have so many good speakers coming up at this Orlando event.
Yes, Lou Merletti is going to be one of them. So you'll enjoy Lou.
Yeah.
You'll enjoy Lou, and he'll be really good to listen to.
Outstanding. No, that I look forward to it.
Yeah. No. So Chief, thank you very much for being with us. Anything you'd like to say about, the great state of Maine? How many police? I'm going to ask you some questions. I hope you don't mind. How many police departments are there in Maine? Do you know?
So we have roughly 2,500 law enforcement officers in the state of Maine right now. We should be around 2,900, but we're 300 to 400 short. So as far as actual PDs, I think it's 150 different agencies that we have in the state of Maine right now.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
So, yeah, the numbers to folks down your way must sound pretty minimal, but we got a lot of trees also, so we don't need as many officers to watch those areas.
Yeah, but a lot of people can go and hide there. You can get, there's a lot of people in those woods, you know?
Yeah, we count on the game wardens quite a bit when people disappear on us, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure the game wardens up there. What's the big animal up there, bear?
Moose. There are bear up here, but it's difficult to see a bear. You know, I've only seen a couple when I've been out hunting, but we got a lot of moose and a lot of deer, but the moose are by far the largest, that's for sure.
Yeah, I remember I was up in New Hampshire for a meeting, and I was driving in a rainstorm, and I was driving, it was a back road, so it wasn't that, I couldn't go that fast. And I looked to my right, and there's four legs.
Yeah.
Walking next to me. I go, whoa!
Yeah, as you can imagine, when we have crashes between vehicles and moose, it's fairly ugly up here when that happens, just because of how high they are. And it always seems like the cars take their legs out from under them, and the moose comes crashing through the driver's compartment. So sends us some fairly serious and fatal car moose crashes, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, it seems horrible. There, you get any Canadian lynx or anything up there? Tigers or anything?
Yeah, people keep showing the lynx. There's a lot of lynx and some bobcats and so forth up here. Every once in a while, somebody will say there's a cougar, but, you got to, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff, as you can probably imagine or know, on social media that gets doctored. So who really knows unless you see him yourself?
Yeah, no, I hear you. Hey, Chief, thank you very much for being here. We really appreciate you being a guest, and we'll have you back on.
Yeah.
We look forward to you being active on our New England Law Enforcement Advisory Board, and we're real excited about that. And everybody out there, this is Battling Drugs and Violence with the lead guy. Yep, that's me, Nick DeMauro, the lead guy. We'll be back right after this message.
LEAD, Law Enforcement Against Drugs and Violence, is a registered 501(c) nonprofit organization supported by dedicated police officers who are committed to protecting our youth and communities from the threat of drugs, drug-related crimes, cyberbullying, and violence. To join the fight against drugs and violence in your community, visit leadrugs.org. That's leadrugs.org. Help LEAD create safer, healthier communities free of drugs, bullying, and violence throughout our country and ultimately the world.
Hi, it's Arthur Idala here for Bay Ridge Honda, run by my longtime family friend, Rob Sabah. The Sabah family owned and operated Honda dealer for over 60 years is there for one reason, their outstanding customer service. The Sabah family at Bay Ridge Honda makes you feel like you're part of their family when you come in to make one of the big decisions in your life, which car to purchase. And to kick off spring, Bay Ridge Honda is offering $0 deals all month long. That's right, zero down deals. On top of that, APR rates as low as 1.9% and no payments until summer of 2024. 90 days of no payments. Bay Ridge Honda has the best prices around, and they will offer you top dollar for your trade-in. You name it, they have it. Brand new Hondas like the all-new Honda Civic, Honda HR-V, CR-V, the Honda Accord, and the Honda Passport. They have them all ready for you to drive off today. Bay Ridge Honda serves all five boroughs, and every new vehicle comes with their Bay Ridge Plus package for all of your service maintenance needs. So visit Bay Ridge Honda, 4th Avenue and 88th Street in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, or online at BayRidgeHonda.com.
War has played a key role in the history of the United States, from the nation's founding right down to the present. Wars made the United States independent, kept it together, increased its size, and established it as a global superpower. Hi, I'm James Early, host of the Key Battles of American History podcast. In each episode, I discuss American history through the lens of the most important battles of America's wars. To start listening now, go to ParthenonPodcast.com or search Key Battles of American History on your favorite podcasting platform.
Listen to AM 970 The Answer on Alexa, TuneIn, iHeart, or Odyssey.com.
This is Carol Platt Liebau for Townhall.com. The California Bar Court has recommended disbarring veteran attorney and constitutional law professor John Eastman. Eastman counseled President Trump on cases dealing with alleged election illegalities on and around January 6th. Many of Eastman's legal arguments are novel, but that's no reason to disbar him. It would be unethical and wrong for Eastman to support ignoring or abrogating the Constitution. But he doesn't. His arguments recognize the Constitution's status as the supreme law of the land. They simply advocate novel interpretations of it. Such advocacy is at the heart of a lawyer's job. It's what Thurgood Marshall did in Brown v. Board of Education, the case that resulted in the desegregation of schools ending the separate but equal legal doctrine. Disbarring Eastman is wrong. It ultimately jeopardizes the right to effective assistance of counsel, and it's profoundly un-American.
AM 97, The Answer.
We're back with Nick DeMauro and Battling Drugs and Violence with the Lead Guy.
Hey, we're back. Battling Drugs and Violence with the Lead Guy. What a great show. We had Chief Mark Hagan from the Topson, Maine Police Department, a member of the New England Advisory Board of LEAD. And we had Allison Heckel, our new EVP of Marketing and Advertising. What a great show. Interesting show today. And for the last segment, we're going to talk about what's happening in the news. I got Alex Garrett behind the glass and Nicholas DeMauro, the lead kid, on the phone. So, what's going on in the world in the drugs and violence?
Well, Nick, you want to go first? I mean, to me, the thing about that stood out was the funeral of Officer Diller. And I don't know how much you guys got to cover of that last week, but what a loss for the city. And his memory lives on and it continues. And hopefully it's a wake up call, right, Nick, to maybe people in charge to make laws better. I mean, that's part of battling drugs and violence, is the law part of it, right?
Yeah, there's definitely an issue with bail reform. We have to work on that. I think that common sense has left elected officials. Unfortunately, everyone wants to make decisions what's popular, and I think that we have to still make decisions that are in the best interest of communities, you know?
When you were in Newark and you lost a cop, I mean, that must have been heartbreaking. And how did you guys as a unit move on? I mean, obviously in their memory when you lost a cop.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. November 1972, my town lost Patrolman Ray Woods. And during that fire, two other officers were injured, one severely, and actually both of them were on my shift when I came on. And he died in 1972. I was appointed a police officer in 81. And we would have a memorial every November in honor of Ray Woods. They actually just renamed the address of the new police headquarters after Ray Woods, who died in 72. And it's a shame, you know. Ray was, 20-something year old, newly married. And we had a big picture of him in our headquarters. And if I could draw, I can draw his face right now, even though I never met Ray. I talked about that night all the time with all the policemen that were working, and he died in a house fire. He responded to a house fire and got the residents out, and it was a scary, scary thing, and we almost lost another cop in that house fire. So Rhine Court, New Milford. So where I'm going with that story is, you know, the NYPD lost an officer, that they'll remember that his legacy will live on. But how many other officers has the NYPD lost? And how many officers around the great United States are lost every year? And it's tough. But we have to, you know, we have to protect our cops, Alex and Nicholas. We have to protect them.
Well, absolutely. And that story is pretty moving. And to promote him to detective, you know, that's another thing that his family will always remember. As far as everything else going on, I still believe there's a border crisis. And I'm sure you're seeing it too, Nick.
Oh, it's horrible. This southern border is horrible. And this administration is still doing nothing. Now they're starting to say they are, but they're not. And it's so I sit on the Narcotics and Dangerous Drugs Committee and our agenda for April 12th. I'm out there I go out on April 11th. I'm there for April 12th, 13th, and 14th. And one of the first meeting at 9:40 on Saturday is the Southwest border update. We have the deputy commissioner of the United States Border Patrol to come address our committee. And so there's a lot of, a lot of stuff. And we have another meeting in the afternoon on the illicit fentanyl into the United States. And we have the head of the DEA there. So a lot of interesting stuff coming up in my meeting, and I'm going to be broadcasting next week from there. So it's going to be interesting what's going on in this world.
Well, I know that you guys are having a big fundraiser in May. Tell us about that also.
Yeah, May 22nd. If anybody's interested, I'm going to tell you right now, give me a call. 609-468-6500. Yep, the lead guy just gave you his personal cell phone number. 609-468-6500. We're having a private fundraiser, $1,000 a ticket, but food, drink, and some great times at a private box at the Yankees versus the Seattle Mariners on May 22nd. We have 10, actually we don't, we only have 8 tickets left for sale. We have 12 sold. We have a box of 20. So we're excited about that. May 22nd, New York City, home of the Yankees, the cathedral in the Bronx. So we're excited about that. And how about those Yankees? How about those Yankees?
Your son texted me a few nights ago saying, I love the 2024 Yankees. And I so agree with you, Nick DeMauro Jr. and Sr. The fact that they took out the Astros in 4, swept them away in their own building. And now you come home 6-1, Juan Soto, and I think the coaching staff of the Yankees have made a difference this year. I truly believe that. And we're early on here.
Well, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. My phone's ringing off the hook here. But we'll see what happens in the upcoming months, right?
Hey, you know who celebrated a birthday this week? Your friend Tony Orlando. How about that?
80 years young. 80 years young. He tied that yellow ribbon around the old oak tree. By the way, Tony Orlando had his farewell concert. And if you have a chance to go online and look at it, it was amazing. I love Tony. And he's been a fan of Lead. He's been on this radio show. And he had Andy Kim singing Rock Me Gently. And he had Dawn show up for Tony Orlando and Dawn. He had Frankie Valli call in. It was a tremendous, tremendous show in honor of Tony. He sold out the Mohegan Sun, and I heard it was like a 3-hour show.
Normally, we end with We Are Family. Why don't we end with a little Tony Orlando today? How about that?
That'd be fantastic. In honor of Tony Orlando. But we had a great show today. We appreciate you all being here. LEADrugs.org. Meet tomorrow, the lead guy. We'll see you next week. Over and out, everybody.
The blame on me if I don't see a yellow ribbon around the old tree.
The preceding program, sponsored by Lead Incorporated.